9F Exercises 2 and 3, page 110. Conversation 1.
Hello. In the studio today, we have David Smith, a local detective who's here to give us some insight into his work. So, David, could you tell our listeners a little bit about what your job involves?
Absolutely. I investigate crimes in different locations around our city and try and connect them to the culprits. I talk to witnesses and collect and process evidence from crime scenes so that criminals can be convicted.
Sounds like fascinating work. So, what kind of process is involved in collecting evidence?
Well, first, when my colleagues and I arrive at a scene, we secure the area before looking for evidence. This means setting up barriers to block public access and ensuring that only police officers can enter. This helps us to make sure that the evidence at the scene cannot be disturbed in any way. Then we take photographs of the scene. This shows what the crime scene looked like when we arrived so that we can show where any evidence was found.
I see. What happens next?
Then I usually begin my search. At this stage, it's crucial that I handle pieces of evidence with care so they can be used in court. To do this, I wear rubber gloves and avoid touching anything unnecessarily so as not to leave fingerprints. Each item I collect is also sealed and labeled with a case number for reference purposes. It's usually a six-digit number, something like 382674, for instance. Of course, that's just an example, as we can't share the numbers of active cases.
So, what role does documentation play in the overall process?
It's extremely important. I have to keep a written record of how each piece of evidence was collected, handled, and processed during a search. This includes recording any observations I made, any actions I took. I have to keep detailed documentation because it proves that my search was a legal one that followed standard procedures. Additionally, these records can help other law enforcement agencies save time if they get involved in the case.
And how is the evidence analysed once you've collected it from the crime scene?
Well, officers at our city police office send it to the laboratory at the national headquarters. Our forensics experts use a variety of scientific techniques to find clues like fingerprints, hair samples, or clothing fibers that might help us connect the culprit to the crime. Then, if the case is strong enough, we take it to court and hopefully put the criminal responsible behind bars.
How interesting. Thank you so much for joining me today, David. It's been very educational.
My pleasure.
Conversation 2.
Hey, have you heard the news about that high-profile bank robbery case that's been all over the papers lately?
No, I haven't. What's happened?
Well, the trial concluded last week after just a single day in court, if you can believe that. The defendant was swiftly convicted after every member of the jury agreed with the prosecution's argument that he was guilty. Apparently, the initial investigation was quite difficult, though, because the detectives on the case ran into some issues when collecting evidence.
Really? What happened exactly?
Apparently, they had difficulty getting their hands on the right footage. Of course, there were plenty of CCTV cameras in the main hall of the bank, but when detectives asked the bank manager to provide the video recordings, they discovered that one of the cameras had been broken the whole time. Even worse, they realized that that camera was the only one which had a view of the culprit's face during the robbery.
You're joking. What terrible luck.
Tell me about it. The detectives were worried that they might not be able to prove the robber's identity. Fortunately, a witness came forward to save the day. She was one of the customers in the bank at the time of the robbery, and she had used her smartphone to take a few quick photos of the robber's face when he wasn't looking. Using her photos and the footage from the other cameras, the prosecutors were able to prove the defendant's involvement in the crime.
Amazing! That woman really did save the day. So, where is the bank robber now?
That's the other interesting thing. Though the judge has given him a sentence, he hasn't actually been sent to prison yet. As it turns out, he was also wanted for an entirely different crime. He's being kept at the local police station until next week, when he will stand trial in court for that offence.
Wow, I hadn't expected that. But I'll be keeping a close eye on the news to see what happens.
Me too.